Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is question and answer time, that time of the month, where I will attempt to answer all 200 and some questions that you guys have submitted so far. I talked to the TruAnon people today, and apparently, I think still tonight at some point, that episode I did with them will be released. It's about... Well, we talked about an hour and 40 minutes. I'm sure that they'll edit a little bit, but it's a lot of topics. It's something that you're really going to want to listen to. We covered Steve Bing, Jeffrey Epstein, Elizabeth Hurley, Bill Clinton, Ron Burkle, David Geffen, Meghan Markle. I mean, just essentially the same, you know, the things that we love talking about. So we covered it all, and it went on and on and on and on and on. So anyway, let's get to the questions. Hold on a second. It appears people have asked more questions since then. Hold on. I had one place to start, and now... Okay. When is your magazine interview coming out? You know, I'm not sure. This is by far the longest that's ever taken for an interview to come out. It's in Atlantic. So I will check to see with the reporter whether or not it's still coming out or not. If not, perhaps she at least wrote it. I mean, I know... You know, I had a really long interview. The fact-checking was long, so... I mean, they went through the motions, so I'm assuming that it'll come out at some point. Is Meghan still friends with Jessica Maroney? You know, I talked about that with TruAnon also, and... You know, my take is that I haven't seen anything where she's distanced. And until this trial concludes, I don't see how that she will. I think that if she wasn't friends, it would, you know, there's been attributed to stories in the tabloids saying, oh, Meghan was finished with Jessica long before this. Really? I don't think so. I think that there, if she had already been finished with her, that there would have been a really strong statement, but there was nothing. So... Now that Cumberbund is back in the news with his star in the Walk of Fame, his romps through New Zealand's nightlife, and rumors of a royal role soon, any chance of the ever elusive and long promised fifth Cumbercast? I'll tell you what, if he gets cast as the royal opposite Kristen Stewart, I will do the fifth episode. I thought of the best question, and now I can't remember what it was. Hopefully, you remembered and it's on there later, because I would like to answer it. Info on Keanu Reeves' girlfriend. This is certainly something that has come up quite a lot as of late. And, you know, this nonprofit, you know, it's got some shady things to it, for sure. There was something that went on last December, I think, where... that the whole the ex-artist books kind of thing, and essentially she's accused of violating the terms of the publisher to author contracts and irregular accounting practices and things like that, and nobody really knows if, you know, the irregularities are because of incompetence or fraud or whatever. So there are a lot of questions to be answered. I feel as if she is fairly thirsty, to say the least, and it seems so different from what we would imagine, you know, Keanu to be with. I think that everybody in the world wants to protect Keanu at all costs, and I think that that is reflected in the in-depth investigations and people looking into everything about Alexander Grant. So, but I think that more and more will come out. How much control does Britney Spears have over her Instagram account? Your posts are sweet, but also very childlike and bizarre. It's strange handlers wouldn't be more involved in the edits. I love Britt, but the posts make me feel sad for her. I think everybody feels a little bit sad for her. And she can make the posts, but they have to be looked at before they go out. And what do the handlers want? You know, we have a hearing coming up where they want to renew the conservatorship. So this is how they can make her look, like you said, childlike and bizarre. What's the deal with Madison Beer always lying about having had plastic surgery done, not to mention the Black Lives Matter photo shoot? What's her deal? She's had a bad couple of weeks, hasn't she? You know, it was a completely staged photo. However, it was not as staged as the Amber Heard photo. You know, at least Madison Beer went to a rally for 5 minutes. She at least made the effort. And then, you know, she romanticized the novel Lolita. And, you know, then she's also, you know, obviously had sex tape and nudes and things like that she did, I think, when she was 14 or something like that. So, and I mean, somebody asked, they said, please tell me you don't romanticize Lolita. And she replied, I definitely do, but we're not going to talk about that. You know, it's, you know, romanticizing a pedophile. And, you know, one of my very dear friends, you know, starred in the reboot movie version, right? As Lolita. So, and she had her own kind of Me Too moment on there. And I talked about it. It's, her very first kiss was being essentially had Jeremy Irons' tongue stuck down her throat, and that was not exactly how she wanted her first kiss to be. So let's see, what's the next one? How did Alexander Grant get approved to enter Germany when she's not part of the crew of Matrix? They have strict and narrow guidelines on who can enter and why. They do, and I think that they made an exception in this case. That's the only thing I can think of. And, of course, she arranged for a paparazzi to be there when they got there. Why is no one talking about how Meghan Markle borrowed her famous lines from Grey's Anatomy, season 13? It's the end voiceover with Jackson Montana. Only wrong thing to say is nothing. You know, that is true. And then, you know, one of the things I think that she said was, I wasn't sure what I could say to you. I wanted to say the right thing, and I was really nervous that I wouldn't, but I realized the only wrong thing to say is to say nothing. So yes, it sounds like it a lot. And then there's, you know, the actual thing from Grey's Anatomy says we're petrified of saying too much or saying it wrong, when the truth is the only wrong thing you can say is nothing at all. Is it plagiarized? I don't know. You know that I'm always, you know, it could be. I mean, it's close, right? It is very, very close. Maybe she was inspired by it. But yeah, it comes really close. Is it plagiarized? I think that the fact that people are talking about it enough like this, that you could say that it is, at least it's not word for word. You know, she changed a couple of things. Any Breaking Bad gossip? Is Bryan Cranston as awesome as he seems? I need to hear a Royal William and Kate deep dive. I hadn't even thought about doing a Royal William and Kate deep dive. I think I talked about Bryan Cranston last month, and, you know, he's just cranky, and, but, you know, in the scheme of things, he's not, you know, a bad guy. You know, whenever you are in a position where for many years, you know, you get your ego stroked, whether it's on Malcolm in the Middle, and then you did Breaking Bad, right? So he's had a good run of things, and then now he makes movies, and, you know, He's a little bit cranky. I mean, I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad. I love Better Call Saul. So, I'm trying to think if I've just heard any horrible things about anybody. And I'm going to forget her name. It has a scandal, too. It's been so long since I thought about all of the Breaking Bad stuff. And I can't even remember her name now off the top of my head. It's the actress who everything was in purple. If you look her up, there's some stuff about her. But I don't know if there's enough about to do a deep dive, even on the individuals, because they don't really have a ton of scandals about them. So, how strong is Leo DiCaprio and Camilla Morone's relationship? They've been together for much longer than most of Leo's other relationships. You know, there's the whole birthday party thing. I guess Camilla was thinking that she wasn't getting a big enough birthday party, so she started calling all of Leo's friends and saying, oh, Leo's throwing me a birthday party, I want you to come. And she said it's a Western theme or something, and Leo had planned nothing of the sort. She essentially took all of his friends and threw herself a party. And, you know, I think that the pandemic has given her a few extra months on the contract. And I would suspect that when everything kind of returns to somewhat of a normal semblance, that she'll be out the door. Clearly, Jimmy Kimmel is taking a lot of heat right now. Was he tied to any other scandals of any kind? Well, you know, I've had some blind items about him, of course. First of all, he married his head writer. Think about that. Now, it worked out well, they got married, they have a child, but what if, you know, she didn't want that kind of relationship and was forced into it, and then it didn't work out and he fired her? I think that that's kind of a bad situation. He also definitely supports the former chef to Epstein and is a big investor in that chef's restaurant. You know, Adam Perry Lang, that's the chef. And then Joel McHale also is a big supporter of it. And then there was something a couple of years ago, almost 2 years ago. And at the time I had said that there was about a dozen women that were banding together to talk about how they were treated on the show. Not the Jimmy Kimmel Show, but the Man Show. And apparently it was just like a Me Too dictionary of things that happened to them on that show. And I don't know if they kind of settled or if it just went by the wayside. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, the whole Man Show thing was just a scandal waiting to happen. Have you ever revealed blinds on Patty Duke? I saw her interviewed once and her childhood was a horror story. I searched, but I'm not sure if the blinds you've written were about her. Is it possible that her childhood was even worse than she described in her book? I mean, her childhood was pretty bad. Essentially, she was recruited by some talent agents. I think their name were the Rosses. And they had signed her brother earlier. And she was often left in the care of them. And they're the ones who changed her name to Patty. And then they were accused of exploiting her and taking her money and plying her with drugs. And then she was involved in the whole $64,000 question quiz show where it was rigged. And she was called to a Senate committee hearing into game show rigging in general. And the producers had tried to coach her to lie to the committee, but she broke down and revealed that she had been given the answers on the quiz show. I mean, so that's a couple things with her. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. You know, she is the mother of Sean Astin. A lot of people, I guess, don't know that. You guys probably do, because you're very knowledgeable. But when she was doing this show, the Patty Duke show, after it was over, she kind of was done with sitcom kind of things. And she met, well, he was the assistant director on the show. His name was Harry Falk. And she married him in the mid-60s at some point. And so then she tried to break out of the whole sitcom thing, and she was in Valley of the Dolls and played this, you know, drug-addicted singer kind of thing. And the fans of the show, where it's this sitcom and happy-go-lucky, and here she is, this drug-addict singer in Valley of the Dolls. And then she divorced Harry Falk. Then she started dating Lucille Ball's son, Desi Arnaz Jr. And he was 17 at the time. And Lucille Ball was apoplectic and just totally telling Patty Duke that she should be ashamed of herself and all this kind of stuff. And the pressure got to be quite a lot. So then what Patty did was she did this sham marriage to this guy named Michael Tell. And he met her because he was subletting her apartment or something. And they were married for a couple of weeks. And then right after that, then she gave birth to Sean Astin. And he grew up believing that he was Desi's son. And it wasn't until he was an adult that he realized that his father was the Michael Tell guy, the guy that had only been married to Patty Duke for a couple of weeks. So that was kind of interesting. And then the reason it's Sean Astin and the last name's Astin is because she started dating John Astin. He's Gomez from the Addams Family. And he was maybe 20 years older than her. And so then he adopted Sean. So that's kind of a little bit. I mean, her life I could, you know, obviously talk about for quite some time. Let's see. How big of a scumbag is Henry Cavill? You know, he definitely dates very, 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 very young women, high school aged. You know, he dated Kaylee Cuoco for, what, a couple weeks, and she thought that she was in love and everything, and then he said, well, we need to start doing these threesomes, and then she says, I'm so out of love. Yeah, he's not a nice guy, and I don't really understand the nuances of behind-the-scenes superhero stuff so much, and people coming and going, but, you know, one of the reasons that he was out as Superman is because of they were ready for them for there to be some kind of news about some of his inappropriate relationships with women, and they wanted to cut the cord. And then crickets, nothing happened, right? None of the stories came out. And I mean, they had cut ties to him because they were convinced the stories were coming out. And as time passed and none of the stories came out, and even when you hear about him, you know, hooking up with his co-star on things, and, you know, apparently she was quote-unquote 18 when they started dating or something. Now, you know, there's talk that he gets to come back as Superman. Let's see. Hoping for that Lea Michele Part 2 episode. In the meantime, any dirt on Jonathan Groff? I find it weird that he seems so sweet and gentle and yet has been friends with Lea forever, even though it seems she's been terrible since childhood. He had that secret relationship with Zachary Quinto for years before Quinto came out, but they broke up shortly after that. Are either of them to blame? Well, anytime that you have, you know, a relationship with somebody who hasn't come out yet, you know, there's a lot of pressure because you have to keep it quiet. Can't be photographed too closely together in public. Can't accidentally kiss each other on a balcony. Things like that. So I don't think that there was, you know, anyone to blame necessarily in that. So, you know, there was one. It wasn't necessarily anything that Jonathan did, but there was maybe 10 years ago, I want to say, something like that. Jonathan, it was right after Glee started, maybe, and there was this Newsweek article, and I forget who the reporter is, and his whole premise for this article was that openly gay actors aren't capable of playing straight characters. And I would say, Neil Patrick Harris, you know, and openly gay, and he can definitely play a straight guy. So that's, you know, should be number one. And one of the things was that he trashed Sean Hayes because Sean Hayes was on Broadway at that point in Promises, Promises, and he said it was just ridiculous. And then he questioned the acting ability of Jonathan. And then he said, well, you know, Jonathan's a great singer and he's a heartthrob, but that his television performance was off and distracting. And then he started talking about a whole bunch of other people and things like that. So, and I think that he actually did say that Neil Patrick Harris was okay in that article. And I think he also said Portia de Rossi. I think that the whole idea is completely wrong. And I think that, you can definitely play straight. I'm not sure that Sean Hayes would come to my mind if I was trying to come up with an actor to play a really straight character. But I think that there are plenty who certainly can, and I think it's a ridiculous premise for an article and can't believe they published it. Stassi and Beau, are they real? Was this baby planned for publicity? I've always said that the relationship's fake. I wouldn't be surprised if the baby might not be his. It wouldn't shock me, you know? And was the baby planned for publicity? That's a really good question. You know, that is a really, really good question. And I know that the timing of the announcement was certainly to help her publicity-wise. However, you know, she really wanted to get married and have Bravo pay for it and have a little spinoff kind of thing. And so to be pregnant, you know, if she was going to get married when I think they were going to start filming again in October or something like that, for that would have been tough. So I don't, maybe she thought she'd get a spinoff. You know, she probably had plan B. I'll get a spinoff of just, you know, being pregnant and everything. Because she's certainly farther along than, you know, she was definitely hiding it. I don't know if she's trying to sell a story or whatever, but she certainly used the fact that she was pregnant for publicity when she needed it. What's the connection between Steve Bing and Epstein? Any connection to the additional suicide? You know, I will say that I do talk about it on the TruAnon thing, but essentially, Steve Bing was just one of the group of people. Ron Burkle, Epstein, Clinton, you know, and Steve Bing were this group of four. And I did a tweet, you know, the other day after Bing died and said that, you know, he was one of the people who tried to kill the Vanity Fair story about Epstein, the John Connolly article. So, you know, he is a guy who has a lot of connections to a lot of people. And it's really interesting when you, when I was, you know, going through everything and going through Burkle and everything, so I would be prepared when I was on the podcast, and just how everybody at the top, just they're all friends with each other, whether they're left or right, and just how they all do favors for each other, and it's all kind of, you know, smarmy and things like that. Because Ron Burkle, when he bought the part of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and, you know, they had won the Stanley Cup in 2016. So in 2017, he then went to the White House and Trump was in office. And, you know, he said, Ron Burkle is one of my best friends. It's just, you know, there's, it's class politics. That's what it is, right? Anyway, so yeah, so Steve Bing, and, you know, he didn't acknowledge any of his children. And just, we also talked about the Kurt Krikorian and Anthony Pelicano's in it and everything like that. What was Kim Richards from Real Housewives like? She seems traumatized from that period of her life and it led to her addiction issues. How are the Richards sisters' relationship like now? And how accurate is the House of Hilton book? I need this. It's so crazy to watch Viall talk about her mom like she was a saint. Meanwhile, she's pimping her other daughter on the side. So horrible. Yeah, I mean, come on. Kim Richards is... oh, you know what? something that popped in my head, and I'll get to Kim Richards in a second, but Henry Cavill, one thing that I had totally forgot about. Do you remember, what is her name? It's Dagomara, I think, something like that. And Henry Cavill gave an interview once, and it was when he was dating the high school senior, because they were talking about that. And then he talked about this relationship, and he didn't say it was Dagomara, but if you look at everything, it's correct. She was about 23 years old, and Henry Cavill was about 15 years old when they were hooking up. So, you know, to me, maybe that's where he gets this sense of, you know, it's perfectly okay to be with somebody who is really, really young. Because she was much older than him. You know, 23 and 15 or something like that. So, anyway, that kind of popped in my head. The House of Hilton, I think it's fairly accurate. I've talked about Kim Richards and how she was essentially the person who had to do all the bad things so that the other sisters could benefit from it. And, you know, Kim's mother was having an affair with a married guy, Ken Richards. I mean, he was married, had a couple of kids, and then she got pregnant, and then used her pregnancy to force the guy to get a quickie divorce and then marry her. So, yeah. And then Kathy was a child from a previous marriage. And then Kim was just a couple of months old, essentially, when the mom put her to work. And a TV commercial, I think. And she was old enough to crawl. And because it's a commercial for like a rug company or something like that. And so then Kim's mom made the husband move to Hollywood so that way she could make everybody movie stars. And it just, then, you know, Monty, the first husband, you know, he owned a supermarket chain, right? And so he was rich, and that's what Kim's mom wanted. But, and then she said, you know what, you need to be, maybe you can find a billionaire. Because while they were dating and living together, Kim was seeing other guys. And one of them was John Davis, who's, you know, he gave her, I believe, $1 million check and just said, hey, you know, go spend money or whatever. And Kim finally married Monty in a shotgun wedding because she was pregnant. And I think that there were a lot of thoughts about whether or not it was, you know, his baby or not. And, you know, there was no thought to an abortion or anything like that. And then Monty gave her an engagement ring, gave Kim an engagement ring. But I think the story was she didn't think that it was big enough. And told Kim to give it back to him and said, you know, we're going to need a bigger ring. So, yeah. I'm trying to remember how old Kyle, age difference. So Kyle must have been about 16 or something when Kim got married. And, Moon Unit Zappa, she was one of the bridesmaids. So, anyway, you know, I've kind of talked before about just how horrible the mom was, and I find it disturbing when the other sisters don't acknowledge what Kim did for them. So, thank you for the great content. Oh, you're very welcome. Can you please comment on Steve Bing? I did that. Madeline McCann connection. You know, I really don't understand the whole Madeline thing and the timing of all of that. it still just kind of blows my mind because we were, it's the exact same story from a year ago. It's the exact same. And I so it just, why did it come out? These are the questions. And why did everybody rush to write about it? Was it for clickbaits? Were they trying to distract people? I don't understand that one. I would understand if there was some kind of new news, but there was nothing new. Ron Jeremy's arrest. Yeah. You know, Ron Jeremy, I think I talked about this in the Zoom one. You know, this porn star karaoke, and he was always just being totally inappropriate, and it does not surprise me at all that women are coming forward saying that he sexually assaulted them. You know, you get to paid to have sex for a living, so do you need that much more? He was just, he's a guy kind of like Harvey who, hey, I'm Ron Jeremy, what are you going to do about it? You know, I'm a star, you're going to be gone in a month. You know, if you want to be here for 3 months, have sex with me or something like that. And then let's see, saying the other producer, or that guy, yes, the producer of Extraction, he was arrested for rape too. And the guy from the 70s show, yep, Danny Masterson, yes, it's all happening. Yeah, I mean, it's all happening at the same time. I'm not sure how Madeline McCann kind of fits into all of that stuff. Like I said, I'm a little bit confused about why, you know, it came up like that. And it's something that I talked to people about, and, you know, there was the some kind of fake mugshot that made it look like the person was Ghislaine or something like that. Anyway. Does Scooter Braun know about Carly's secret? I'm sure he knows all of her secrets. And more on Asia Argento, please. Anthony Bourdain and Eric Repair. Something very dodgy there. What is Asia up to these days? She dropped off everyone's radar. Yeah, I mean, it was the 25th, right? Is Anthony Bourdain Day. You know, I'm always reminded of, couple things. There was a blind that I wrote in June, I think, of 2018. So, and essentially, it kind of started off that Anthony knew it was coming, because a producer had said that in all the time that they filmed, unless he had horrible food poisoning, Anthony would be in his room only for sleeping and passing out. And this time was different. It was almost as if he was hiding in his room. And he kept saying, they're coming. And he had been perfectly normal until he received word of the death of several people, but one in particular who would make sure the person with information would remain quiet. And then it only took about a week after that to come for him. And if you remember, Asia said in an interview that she didn't deny that she played a role in the murder of Anthony, and that she had also confirmed what I had written about before about him cheating. And did she know with whom? And I think that she did, you know, which kind of made it all the more interesting. Now, a lot of people have speculated that you know, that he was cheating with Rose McGowan, which really would make things interesting. And I remember, what was it? Let me see if I can find it really quickly. Because it was something that came out about that time, and it was talking about Rose and cheating and everything. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. And this is from a tipster, and I kind of left it in their words. But it said, about 6 or 7 years ago, I was invited to a friend's house where her and her husband were hosting a dinner. Before we ate, I was hanging with my friend who works as a model, chatting. And during our conversation, I saw she received a text and then immediately reacted by shaking her head and sighing uncomfortably. I asked her what the problem was. Then she turned her phone around and showed me a shadowy video of a naked woman, clearly on drugs or alcohol, dancing in a mirror, attempting to be sexy. She then explained that this woman has been aggressively trying to get my friend to sleep with her and won't stop sending her naked videos, even after my friend specifically telling her she's married, not into women, and to stop sending the videos. I explained to my friend that this amounts to harassment and she should notify the authorities. She then told me who the woman was, that she was famous and had powerful friends, and it was better off if she just ignored it, with hopes eventually the woman would move on to someone else. It wasn't worth risking social and career suicide. So imagine my reaction when the Me Too movement broke wide open, and emerging as the face of the resistance, the defender of all harassed women, was the exact same person who had incessantly sexually harassed my friend. I've held back this story for months now, but in the light of Anthony's death, I think it's important for people to know the truth about their fearless leader. She's not who the media presents her to be, and my best guess is that she was intentionally inserted up front as a controlled opposition, a loud vocal leader, in order to keep people focused only on the abuses of adult women and distracted from the much bigger problem of pedophilia in Hollywood, which continues to be ignored by the media and the Hollywood community at large. So I always thought that that was a pretty interesting thing. And then another one with Asia, when you're talking about it, is to me is kind of completely changed. And, you know, I guess playing a part in a death will do that. And the things that I heard was that she's actually kind of living with the guy who did the actual killing. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, she's definitely been off the radar, for sure. For sure. I was thinking... And then there was talk where there was supposed to be, you know, essentially a murder-suicide, but that she didn't end up going. That's how they were going to make it look. There's a lot to be said about that whole case. And anyway, let's do something a little bit lighter. The real deal on Olivia Palermo and her husband, Johannes. I mean, it's a career marriage. That's essentially what it was, is. It's just a little boost in the career. They can help each other. That's how I've always thought of it. Did you ever reveal the blind about a famous gay man? Might have been a mogul. Who had a party bus transported to whatever town he was in and used it to pick up young tricks, and maybe a couple of guys were never seen again. I looked on the site for the link to this but couldn't find it. Hopefully remember what I'm referring to. Somebody says, I remember that one. I don't remember a reveal if there was one, though. And he said, if we asked about old blinds, provide a link. And then somebody kind of gives a good guess as to who it may be about. So I would check the comments. I don't know if I've ever actually revealed that one. Any details on Brad Goreski and Gary Jannetty? You know, I've always kind of had a problem with Brad, to the extent, you know, just because, you know, he stole all Rachel Zoe's clients. I am not a fan of Rachel at all. And anybody who, you know, when she was really a popular thing, I was not a fan. But, you know, you don't go steal all his clients and everything. And then, you know, he starts filming his own show, and I feel like he's always on Radio Andy, and I kind of... And then one of the things that Rachel did was that, because he had taken Jessica Alba, and although Jessica didn't go back to Rachel, she said, you're right, I shouldn't have gone with him, what he did was wrong, kind of thing. So I'm not, you know, the biggest fan of Brad. I find him to be very, very fake. Let's see. I remember vaguely you mentioning something a long time ago about her, but what's the deal with Giada? She irks me. You know, if you go back and just if you do Giada and then Blind Items Revealed, I mean, you'll see everything about John Mayer and, you know, cheating with him and stuff. And then there was another relationship. She did the same thing. I feel like she's been pretty quiet the last few years. I think that all that splash of back-to-back-to-back, maybe 2 years of bad publicity kind of shut her down a little bit. I know not much info in quarantine. Do you have anything new on Kerry Washington and Tony Goldwyn? I saw where she's been mentioning it more than normal on her socials. Yeah, I mean, because they mention each other all the time. And like I say all the time, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. Why should they change? Why should they change? It's just everything is easy the way that they do it right now. So if you're ever expecting them to just, you know, one day move in together and be open, I don't see it. You know, I think that what they have works for them, and I don't think that we're gonna, I think that they like that everybody talks about them all the time that way. And, you know, people would stop talking about them. They would just be another couple, right? What's the deal with Emily Ratajkowski's husband, Sebastian? He seems like a creepy lurker. He does seem like a creepy lurker. And, you know, he ripped off the landlord for so many hundreds of thousands of dollars and everything. And, oh, yeah. Why is Kristen Stewart still being cast in high-profile movies? I have no idea. And, you know, I did a little back and forth with myself on an episode about whether or not she'd be good with Princess Diana, whether or not her British accent, and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm leaning towards no, that she's not going to do good, do well. I don't know why they keep hiring for things. Everything that she has been in as of late has bombed, and not just bombed a little bit. I'm trying to think of any chemistry that she can have if they do pick Benedict. Does she need to have chemistry with him? You know, it's, I think the movie, like I said, takes place over 3 days. I don't really see it. How was Damon Albarn as a person? Damon, he's in Blur and all that. You know, he, as he's aged, he's fine. When he was young, I mean, he got arrested all the time. I think he said once he got arrested 10 times or something like that. Just for stupid stuff when he gets drunk. I mean, most of it was like drunk and disorderly. I do know that the Blur band members, when he was like this, it wasn't the most fun relationship to be around, because he really enjoyed punching them a lot and just would get out his anger by punching them, and nobody really enjoyed that. But he's changed. He's, you know, mellowed. So, I mean, there's nothing horrible about him. But what about Rivers Cuomo? Yeah, there's nothing really about him at all. He's in Weezer, if you guys don't know. There's this whole weird thing about it, you know, kind of this semi-sexual relationship innuendo that he always has with kind of underage Asian girls. But I just put that down to, I don't think that there's anything that actually, you know, happened on it or anything like that. It just is kind of a weird thing that he's into or fetishizes, I think. Oh, that might be a good one to end on, because I will remember it. So anyway, look for the Truanon one if they get it to me, and they still haven't, and it's 8 o'clock at night, essentially. So anyway, hopefully it'll be up tonight or first thing in the morning, and I will talk to you guys later.